Good morning, all. Everyone take their seats. How are you? Are you doing okay? Good on you. Great to be with you this morning. Thank you for praying for my health. Continue to pray. And I thank God that I'm here this morning. And I'm glad that you've turned up as well. Literally, not into a conversation, but just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you turned up as well. Come on, let's appreciate the fact that we're here in the presence of Jesus. Wonderful. Would you please also pray for myself this week and for Dan Calland? Dan is, he's a good boy. I like Dan, he's a good boy. And Dan is, some would call him youth pastor, some would call him a lot worse than that. He directs our youth, and there you go, there's a little bit of appreciation. You can feel the love in the room. And Dan and I are going over to our links over in the Czech Republic this week again, and continuing to build on the relationship we've already got. There are approximately 50, and again, I use the term pastor because that's what they use. There are about 50 youth pastors from all around the Czech Republic coming to one place for a conference where Dan and I are going to speak to them. They've got them for 3 days. And we want to help them and take the nation of the Czech Republic on. So we're going to the nations of the world and helping other people as well as our vision of being a resource church. And so please pray for us this week as we go. And then we turn our attention this morning, of course, to the fact of where we've been with Abram and his journey and count the stars. And I just want to remind you of week one where we spoke about tent vision. Everyone say tent. If you remember, we had a tent on stage and I spoke from within there. But the reality was we may enjoy camping, glamping, whatever you want to call it, but God wants us out the tent. He wants to bring us from a place of enclosure and only seeing so far to a place where we can look at the sky, we can look at the stars, and we can begin to dream again of how big God, because he hasn't got any enclosures. And so we looked at that tent vision. Let me remind you that, and I'm asking you, have you come out of that tent yet? Have you given God an opportunity to bring you outside of your environment where you're living, the space that you live at this time? That's our tent, to bring us out of that, to see something far bigger, far greater than we've ever seen before. Because that's what God's about. And so we looked at tent vision, and the interesting thing is when I think about tent vision, I don't think I said this at the time, is when we're living in a particular enclosure, when we're living in a space, we have a certain mindset, a certain smallness of thinking. The interesting thing is when we live there, we want everybody else to come and live in our tent. We want to bring everybody else down to the level of our thinking and our activity. How many know it's time to come unzip that tent, come out and look at what God has for us? So there was week one, and then we kind of moved on and looked at the journey of Abram and with his father, Terah, and they moved from the Ur of the Chaldeans and they moved to a place called Haran. They never should have stayed in Haran, but they stopped. Everyone say stop. I wonder if you stopped on the adventure this morning. I wonder if you kind of hit a certain level or you've come to a certain place or you've hit a certain age and a certain, I don't know, a season in life, a certain circumstance that's caused you to stop. I mean, no, God doesn't want us to stop. If God wants us to stop, it's only for a moment to think about where we are. Because he wants us to move on from the place that we've been. And so we looked at the place called Haran, and this is where Terah, the father of all his family, he took them to Haran, and the Bible says that they stayed in Haran. They never should have stayed. They were on to a greater place called Canaan, but they stopped. How many know that when we stop somewhere, we settle? And we're not settlers, church. We are pioneers. Come on, is somebody with me this morning? We are pioneers. We're not to stop where we are. And I made this statement that I know has helped a lot of people. It's helped me as well over this last couple of weeks, where I said this: we didn't come this far only to come this far. We haven't come this far as a church family only to come this far. So my reminder is, when we stop, we settle. I love the fact of God's grace, you know. Because sometimes we think we've stopped and it's over. I'm glad God doesn't think it's over. Sometimes we do. We stop and we settle and we think, oh God, I've missed the boat. I've missed the train. I've missed the adventure. People are on this journey and I've stopped and I'm kind of out of it with me and my family. Circumstances got hold of us and we've stopped and we can't go any further. I wrote this: our delays are not God's denials. Understand that when we stop and we settle, God has not finished with us. If you read the Bible, if you read Genesis, you see that God spoke time after time after time after time. And you think you've stopped, you think it's a denial, and God says, no, actually, I still want to play ball with you. I still want to take you to the place that you've not been to yet. How many know that is the truth? And so we carry on the story this morning. We read from Genesis 12. So this is, if you like, life beyond Haran. You know, they've been in Haran, and Terah, who was Abram's father, he died in Haran because he stopped. You know, the place you stop, you'll die. You need to move on from where you are. And chapter 12 says the continuing journey of Abram, who is now the boss, and listening to God. And it reads like this, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 10. Listen to the next phase of this incredible adventure and journey. Verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. Wow, there's sacrifice alone. And go to a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. How many know God is for the good of his people? I will bless you, he said, and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I love the fact that we don't just get blessed for ourselves, but we're blessed so that we can bless others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Thank God for obedience. And Lot went with him. Not so sure about that one. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, and all his wealth. Can I just say that he didn't dislike Lot? But God told him to leave stuff behind, including his relatives. So his livestock and all the people he'd taken into the household at Haran, and he headed for the land of Canaan. He's finally on the way to where God wants him to be. And they arrived in Canaan. Thank God that there is a destination, there is a place that God wants us to live that we can get to. Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. So he's now in Canaan and working his way through. And there he had set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give you this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. He's a man who's in touch with God. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages towards the Negev. Verse 10 says, at that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. Where he lived as a foreigner. And I want to make some comments, some observations this morning as we carry on this journey throughout Canaan and reaching where God wants us to be. And I want you to notice something about life after Haran. They arrived in Canaan. Everyone say Canaan. They got to a place where God wanted them to be. If you like, this was their dreamland. So they arrived in dreamland, and guess what? There was a famine in dreamland. I'm like, God, what is this about? And I want to address where I believe some of us, maybe many of us, have been or are or could end up. And it begs this question when we look at this scenario of getting into dreamland, of being on an adventure together, and suddenly we find ourselves in famine, the place where there isn't supposed to be any famine, which is dreamland, and yet there's famine. And so my question goes like this. What happens when you get to a certain point on the adventure and it doesn't look like it was promised? When you read the holiday brochure of Canaan, and it kind of refers to the holiday place of a land flowing with milk and honey. Because this is what Canaan was known for throughout the scripture. A land of fruitfulness. A land with plenty of provision. But you arrive in your Canaan and there is a severe famine. What is that about? It's like, God, I never signed up to this. God, when we spoke about it in church, when we talked about our journey as a church community, I never believed that me and my family would end up where we are on this journey, but in so much famine. It's like I thought Canaan was supposed to be a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, God, looks like the flow stopped. It actually looks like the holiday brochure, but the one that you read where you see these incredible views, but when you arrive, there's building cranes everywhere and building sites. So what's going on, God? What's happened to the land where it looks like the milk and honey's dried up? When the land of promise becomes the place of famine. Well, you know what I began to think about this? And I think I feel I've been there sometimes, and you probably have. And there are seasons in your life where, I don't know, there's circumstantial stuff, and you feel that you want to be on the journey, but it's like, you know what? We've arrived at a certain point, and we feel like we're in famine right now. And at those times, I believe we can do many things. I believe one of those things we can do is that we can trust what God says through the journey. We can make a choice as a family, as an individual, as a young person, as maybe grandparents in this house. We can make a choice and we can say, despite famine, God, I know your word. I know what you've said to us, and we're going to keep on this journey. We're going to keep rolling. We're going to keep moving. Despite the fact that sometimes I feel so hungry, I'm going to stay on the journey. I'm going to trust what God said. You know what? I think other times it's a little bit different. Sometimes instead of trusting God through the famine, a little bit like Abram, he is a man who's in touch with God. How many know we can be in touch with God and still stuff up sometimes? We can make some silly decisions for our lives. Oh, well, I love you, Jesus. Hey, that's not the whole thing. It's about how we make decisions for our lives in relation to what God said. So we can choose to trust God, or maybe we can operate according to the circumstance. Two very, very clear choices. We can trust the words of God, or we can look at the circumstance of where it's at. Now, here's the deal, and here's my point. When we doubt, we detour. When we doubt, we detour. Hear me. I'm going to say it again. When we doubt, we detour. There is a diversion on its way when we doubt what God says. Is this making sense? That we know what God says. We arrive at a certain point on the journey, and by the nature of the circumstance, we have a choice. Do we follow what God says? Or do we look at the circumstance? Because how many know the circumstance is a reality? When famine hits, we know it's there. Or do we trust God through the famine? Or do we look at the circumstance and do we begin to act? Do we begin to think? Do we begin to determine about and beyond the circumstance that we find ourselves in? When we doubt, we detour. When we doubt the promises of God in our lives, we detour. We take a different route. When we doubt the word of God to our lives in all its fullness, we detour. We doubt. It takes us down a certain path. Many of you know what I'm speaking about this morning. When we doubt the journey or the adventure that we're on, we detour. It's like, let's go this way. Let's take a bit of a diversion. God will understand because of our circumstances that we have to do this. I understand as I read this book, and maybe I'm a bit harsh. Maybe as I read this word, maybe you think it's a bit harsh. When we look at Abram, because the reality is, Abram, instead of staying and trusting God in the land that God took him to, he took a detour. He ended up by moving to Egypt. How many know Egypt's not Canaan? How many know that Egypt wasn't what God had for him? That Egypt wasn't his destiny? How many know if you read the story, and you can, if you go in through Genesis 12, continue to read the story when you go home, look at some of the stuff that came on the back of it. Look at some of the lies and deception and stuff that had to go on in Egypt because they moved from the place that God wanted them to. They moved from the place where God had put them, and they took a detour. The Bible says that they ended up in Egypt living as a foreigner. This is what I think. Sometimes in our personal barrenness, when famine hits in whatever area of our lives, can hit in all kinds of areas, or personal famine in our lives with our family or circumstantial stuff that comes our way. Some may be caused by our decisions, others may be caused by other people's decisions, but we find ourselves in a place of barrenness. Sometimes in our barrenness, we get another idea. We think of something else. You know, I kind of like to think sometimes it's like Abram did, and you can read about this in the story as well, that sometimes we like to give God a bit of a hand. You know, God, you're obviously not producing the promises in the way that you said, and so we're going to help you a little bit. We're going to step in and help you along, Jesus, so that your promises are fulfilled and there's no embarrassment. You hear what I'm saying? And so we come up with our cunning plan. It's like, hey, lads, hey, it ain't working out. Let's go to Egypt. Let's do our thing. And we feel a bit forced. It's like, God, it's not really happening for us. And so we feel a bit forced that we've got to either push you or we've got to help you in some way or we've got to devise a cunning plan. Now, that can look like all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. But whatever that looks like, here's one thing that it does. It makes us detour off the journey and the adventure that God has for us. It leads us down a path. It leads us down a certain path, and we start living as a foreigner to the adventure. Hear me. It's almost like now we distance ourselves from the adventure. As we've made some decisions, as we have some plans for our life, it's almost like we try and run side by side with the adventure, but something kind of takes the tracks that are not parallel anymore, and it takes us on a detour that we never planned to go to. We end up in a place where we're like a foreigner living in a state of a community, but distance from it. Never God's intention. But that's where we end up. And I just want to encourage you this morning by saying this. Sometimes you've just got to stick to the adventure and believe for the provision of God. Can I say that God doesn't need your help? For all of you that sit out there and hear us requesting for volunteers and money and all kinds of stuff, I want to tell you something. God doesn't need your help. He wants you to be with Him. He wants your life as an adventure. He wants us to do this together in community. And the thought that we can be the hand that makes it happen is laughable. Honestly, it's laughable. It's not about our hand, it's about the provision of Almighty God. You see, who is the source of your supply? In lean times, who is the source of your supply? Oh, well, it's Jesus, because we fall down on our knees, and when we're in need, we just call out to God and we believe for the provision of God. How about when you're in abundance? Oh, well, when we're in our abundance, it's kind of, Jesus is blessing us. It's like, wow, thank you, God. It's like we don't need you as much, Jesus. So in your abundance, who is the source of your supply? Can I just say that here's a little bit of advice that we've sought as a family to take on board and not always been perfect at this, but this is our belief, this is our faith, that Jesus is always the source of our supply. Whether we're in want or whether we're in plentiful, whether we're in abundance, the source of our supply, the source is faith. It's not coming from how much or how little I have in my bank account. It's coming from faith. You see, if somebody comes with £1 million and throws it at us, TCC, let it happen. I'm cool with that. I want to tell you, we'll still be in faith. That Jesus is still the source of our supply. So sometimes we just need to stick to the adventure and believe for the provision of God. So my question is, wherever you are on the journey today, wherever you are on this adventure, some of you feel okay. It's kind of, yeah, we're kind of all in. And some of you are right on the edge. And some of you feeling famine. And this part of the adventure, and it's like we're a bit distant. We never meant to get there, but we feel like we're there. And my question would be, what provision do you need from God right now? Not what can you do to help God out with the adventure. It's like, what provision do you need? Let me just share something that happened, and then I'll finish off very quickly. You know, people may ask you, you know, can you still learn things as you get older and you've been in, you know, full-time Christian paid ministry for 32 years or whatever it is, which is, thank God, that's what it is. Can you still learn stuff? Is God still speaking to you? Well, I kind of reckon that if you've got an open ear, God will speak to you, you know. If you need a kind of a hearing aid, he's kind of beyond that. He'll always speak to us if we're kind of open. It's whether we're responding to what he's saying. And I kind of would say, yeah, God's still speaking to me, still showing me some stuff about all kinds of things. And a little lesson that he taught me just a month or two, or maybe a few months ago now, is towards the back end of our building campaign, of which the journey we'd been on for 8 years. You know, some of you have been on that journey with us to see the, you know, the completion of where we are right now. We thank God. But right at the back end of the building project, we'd had many hiccups, we'd had many obstacles, we'd had many blessings, all kinds of stuff had happened and hadn't happened, and the building was going to happen, then it wasn't going to happen, and then the week after it was, and the week after it seemed like it wasn't, and I never stood up on this platform or the other one that I was on at the time and told you that, because we wouldn't have known where we were up to. It's like, God, we need your help. So we were believing together and standing in faith together. And towards the end of the build, there came a little bit of a, what I would describe as a money famine. You know what I mean? A little bit like you have, not at the end of the month, but whenever you get paid, it's almost like the famine starts there. It's just like, where's the money gone? We're in famine already. We've kind of not lived the month yet. A little bit like that. And we had a bit of a money famine, and I believed, like I told you at the beginning of this project and continuously through the project, that if this was going to happen, it would mean that we have to give, and we have to give, and we have to give again, and we have to sacrifice. But then when it's beyond all that, then God has got to do some miracles, otherwise it doesn't happen. Remember? Like, we need some miracles, and thank God we got some miracles on the way, and we gave some more, and sacrificially, and I thank God for the generosity of the house. I thank God for the generosity culture in this church that's shown Wigan as a town the way forward. That's what I believe. Over many, many years, it defies who we are and what we're known for as a town. A generosity culture. So I thank God for that. But here came on the journey, on the adventure we got so far, and right near the end, and here comes this bit of a money famine. And at that point, we needed 80,000 quid, which doesn't sound too much if you say it really quick. You know, in a project that cost us several million, it's like, well, where's 80 grand? Well, exactly, that's what we were asking. Where's the 80 grand? We needed £80,000, and this was needed to make the car park, number 2, usable. And this doesn't, well, maybe we should just have one car park. The difficulty was that, with that, is that if we didn't get that car park usable, neither was this space. Now, you didn't know that at the time, but there were all kinds of restrictions that we couldn't get sign-off on the building unless we did something about the use of the car park for the emergency services, for all kinds of reasons. They would not give us sign-off. And if we didn't have sign-off, we couldn't use it. Therefore, we couldn't have our opening in September. Oh, dear. So we needed this 80 grand, and that was just to stone the car park up. So it was kind of a big deal at that time. So we had a plan. I had a plan. So we hired some machinery, and we did it ourselves. That's what we did. And to be honest, that was my plan. And as I look at it today, in the lesson that I learned, I think that was a bit of a detour. Sorry to my friends who worked very hard on that. But I kind of feel, as I look at it today, without taking anything away from the willingness and the sacrificial servitude of people in this church, without taking anything away from that, and the attitude of let's get it done and all of that, without taking anything away from that, I kind of think that it was a bit of a detour. And by the nature of the detour, within a few weeks, it was usable. We had sign-off, and we could open on the 3rd of September. Whoop, whoop. But here's the reality with that. On the back of that car park being completed to the level that it is today, at that point back then, directly after the car park, how many know there's always another issue? Always something else to pay for. And as we looked, well, what's the next thing? Because it's almost like now we're firefighting a bit. We haven't got the money to complete. And at this point, we'd still no money. There was still a famine in the sense of monetary things. And we needed a substantial amount to finish this arena. And we hadn't got the money. And so now the reality was that I stood before God and said, okay, God, what now? Like, what's the way forward now? It's like we've done what we can. We've given you our helping hand, God, because you obviously needed a little bit of help. And now we're still in a place where we haven't got the money to finish off. And I'm saying, God, what now? Help, God, we need you now. And I want you to watch this now. I want you to know that God, everyone say God, is the source of our supply. And so without any kind of appeal, you will know if you come regularly, I never stood up towards the end of the build and said, we need more money from you. Without any kind of public appeal, let me tell you what happened. That over the next 2 weeks, beyond us doing our bit on the car park, two separate gifts of £50,000 came into the house. Now, I would have got excited about that. It's like just through a phone call. Two separate people gave us £50,000 so that we could finish off the arena. And I'm like, God, what is that? It's like, whoa. Can you imagine, for those of you who didn't get even a little bit excited, if that happened in your front door? Oh, well, may I get a bit excited then? Because why? Because that's for me. All right, okay. Maybe we'd get a little bit more excited if it was to finish our extension or pay off our car, pay off our mortgage, pay off. Do you know what? I'm like, God, you're just incredible. Like, who's the source of our supply? £100,000 comes in, and as if that's not enough. The week after, we'd received two checks for 50 grand. £100,000 came in. It's like, boys, get on with it. Get it finished. We're opening on the 3rd. It was all on to get it finished. Some of you will know the stuff that was going on. The following week, a guy came to see me. Come and see you. Yeah, you can come and see me. This is a guy who is a businessman. Doesn't come along here. Wouldn't say that it's his church community. Lives in another part. Couldn't live here. Came to see me. He said, show me around. So we showed him around, and this is a guy who is a friend of TCC. He's been on occasion and is for the house and for what we're doing. And said, yeah, come around, let's have a look around. Showed him around here, showed him around places. Went into the office areas where it wasn't finished, still isn't. We ain't got enough money to do it. Two stories of the offices that we need. And we walked downstairs, went into postcode, bought him a coffee, chatted with him. He said, how much will it cost to finish those offices? I said, about 50 grand. I just have 50 grand in my head, I think. It's like 50 grand kept coming. 50 grand, 50 grand. I said, 50 grand. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it costs 30, maybe it costs 90. But hey, it's 50 grand. So as he sat, he said, I've got to go to an appointment. He said, I should have been there by now. He says, I forget what wording it was and what he would use in the sense of, I think this guy's in business and he knows stuff, you know. He's looked at what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve, looks at the church community, the people, not just the buildings. And he said, I'll give you 50 grand to finish your offices. So it's like I've been waiting each week for another 50 grand to keep coming in. So in less than 3 weeks, God had supplied £150,000 without, everyone say without begging from here. Without saying, come on guys, you've got to do more, got to do more, got to do more. Do you know what? That is why it's such a blessing for you to be free to give next week. You're just free to give. Scripture speaks about not giving with compulsion. Oh, I feel I've got to give, so I'll tip God. You know, you can laugh. So I'll tip God. I don't want you to tip God. I want you to give him your first and your best. I want to tell you as your leader and leaders, not just this leader with his wife and family, but leaders, they give their first and their best consistently, time after time after time after time again. And so what was all that about? Okay, so here's me. I have this cunning plan and we do it because that's what we do and we've got to make it happen. And I believe in a make it happen situation, okay? There are times we've got to make some stuff happen. But God showed me something through this. That whilst I'm trying to give a hand to God, you know, the people that worked on that, giving a hand to God, they were helping God out to get it done. For me, I kind of look at it a bit like this. I went on a bit of a detour. I want to remind you that God is the source of our supply. And I honestly, I felt on the back of that 150 grand coming in, I felt, you know, like sometimes you can just feel the breath of God. You know, usually it's my wife breathing down my neck, but this time was the breath of Almighty God. And I felt him whisper in my ear, Dave, if you need money, I've got money. And I can release it to you whenever I want. Wow. Do you know that makes me feel a lot better about next Sunday? For those of you that will be here, and those of you that won't, because you may choose not to come because you don't want to give, makes me feel an awful lot better about next Sunday. Because it tells me this, that if you come next week and you're part of this, and you give your first and your best to God, you have an incredible freedom to do that. You've got a freedom to do it. Not a compulsion. And you know what that means? That means that when we give, it means we have a big smile on our face. Because how many know God loves a cheerful giver? So I want to give it cheerfully. Whatever we decide to give next week, whatever the magnitude of what that is, we're going to give it with a cheerful face because I am so glad to be on this adventure with Jesus, with this church community, and we are going places with him. Yeah. Dave, if you need money, I can get your money and I can release it to you. He is something that's not on the notes, and maybe for someone this morning. When it comes to financial giving, God says to you, if he can get it through you, he will get it to you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. God says, if I can get it through you, in other words, if I can get you to a point of generosity, I can get stuff to you. You see, we think we've got to hold on. The spirit of the world is we hold on to what we've worked hard for. The spirit of generosity is we're givers. Whether that's finance, whether that's relationship, whether that's a smile to the person tomorrow morning when you walk into a grumpy office, it's just generous. My conclusion of all that is this. And band, why don't you join me as I say this? See them on the edge of the chairs. Come on, band. Get up here. Let me say, don't let them distract you this morning as they're doing what they do. Let me just say, here's my conclusion to this. Lord, your adventure is far more exciting than my detour plans. You see, God, we can try and help you. We can make it so that we can try and give you a hand. But actually, you don't need a hand. You don't really need that. You love our giving. You love our attitude of giving and openness and servitude. But actually, he doesn't need your hand. He wants our obedience. He wants us to walk this path of adventure and say to you today, what do you want from me? What do you need? I think God's saying that. What do you need? What is the provision that you need? I wrote down two questions. As the guys begin to play, let me tell you what these are. Question number one. Is your pursuit of something else, i.e. where you are at this time, your plans, it's like, I'm kind of at a bit of a distance from the adventure and I've got this plan now and it's a bit different than it was, but it's a bit of a detour, but you know what? Is your pursuit of something else worth missing the adventure for? Is my first question. And as we stand this morning, come on, everyone's standing in the house. Let's all stand in the presence of Jesus. Let me ask you this question. What do you need to believe God for to be on this adventure now? What do you need to believe God for to be back where you should be, right in the thick of this adventure now? What is it you need? What do you need to ask God for? Let me give you some suggestions. Maybe a different job. I don't know, it's just practical. Maybe a different job you need. Maybe the provision of a new perspective. Maybe you need to see some things differently than you've seen before. Maybe it's time just to unzip that tent, come out, look at the stars and dream again about the enormity of God. Because that's what his adventure is based on, not your small thinking in your little tent. So maybe it's a new perspective that you need. Maybe to be on this adventure now and in the coming years, you may need the provision of healing. Whether that's healing from a hurt relationship, maybe physical healing, maybe mental healing. Maybe there's some healing that needs to go on so that you can say, God, I'm for the adventure. I'm on the adventure. I'm coming back right from the detour, back into the place that I should be, because I want to live in Canaan with people. I don't want to be down in Egypt. You know, if you want a holiday down in Egypt, you go to Egypt. But you know what? I want to be in Canaan. I want to be where the provision and the promise of God is. And even when there's famine in Canaan, I'm going to stick to the promise of God and not detour to the promise of men.